Chinese spies. Hyping ethnicity misses the boat. Commentary. Some media focus on the ethnicity of Chinese spies. That's a mistake. The most dangerous individuals compromised by the Chinese Communist Party are those snagged by methods known as elite capture. In most countries, these are typically non-Chinese leaders in business and politics. Linda Sun is accused of influencing the New York governor's office on behalf of China's regime in exchange for millions of dollars worth of benefits. She happens to be a member of the Chinese diaspora in the United States. She is a naturalized U.S. citizen. Sun's ethnicity probably matters to her a lot less than the benefits, including, according to the Department of Justice, a $4.1 million New York pad, a $2.1 million condo in Honolulu, Hawaii, and a Ferrari that she allegedly bought with laundered money from the CCP. I doubt the Chinese authorities wanted to pay those kinds of bucks, especially if they knew, and they do, that the Bennies were a red flag to the FBI in more ways than one. But some in the media are now calling out what they claim is a pattern of Beijing engaged in particularly heavy recruiting among the Chinese diaspora for its espionage and influence operations. The clandestine activity usually follows a pattern, analysts said, according to a report in the New York Times. China recruits members of Chinese diaspora communities to infiltrate halls of power or to silence Chinese dissidents and other critics of Beijing. The New York Times presents anecdotal evidence of four incidents of individuals of Chinese descent accused of spying or engaging in influence operations in Canada, Germany, the United Kingdom, and, of course, Sun in New York. The others probably got much less payola than Sun for their alleged influence or espionage. So maybe they were more influenced by their ethnicity. I myself have seen anecdotal evidence that Chinese intelligence agents selectively recruit Chinese Americans. However, there are a number of other reasons to spy for the CCP. There are numerous cases of non-Chinese individuals engaged in similar or worse influence operations, espionage, and technology theft for China than the anecdotes mentioned in the article. Some engage in forced technology transfer that is not, in fact, forced. They choose to trade U.S. origin technology for market access and huge profits in China. There's no law against giving some of this technology away, even though doing so is horrible for the U.S. economy and our national security. It costs us hundreds of billions of dollars in lost business and risks war as the People's Liberation Army gets more powerful through China's use of stolen U.S. technology. Some other non-Chinese who de facto act for China's benefit are high government officials who, after leaving office, work as consultants who happen to promote CCP interests without ever registering as foreign agents. Some have access to individuals at the head of state or secretary level. The late Henry Kissinger, former U.S. Secretary of State, had decades of unparalleled access to officials in both Beijing and Washington. As early as 1989, he allegedly formed a $75 million China Ventures fund with a Chinese government-owned business, according to research in Isaac Stone Fish's book, America Second, How America's Elites Are Making China Stronger. Kissinger allegedly had access to Xi Jinping, Joseph Biden, Donald Trump, and numerous other past presidents. Non-Chinese agents of the regime in Beijing who can operate within the law and under less scrutiny, all else equal, make them arguably more dangerous to the United States and democracy generally. There is a strong argument to be made that Beijing's own racism and how it chooses its low-level spies should not overly influence our understanding of the higher-level threat, enforcement efforts in finding and prosecuting spies, or vigilance in looking for the many traditional and non-traditional ways in which the CCP seeks to influence our democracy. That includes what is known in Washington and the academic literature as elite capture. According to the Heritage Foundation, elite capture, as used by the CCP, is a form of political warfare that seeks to control the actions of political, academic, business, and cultural leaders outside of China to benefit the CCP. The CCP uses financial incentives, financial dependence or compromise, business entanglement, offers of access to opportunities within China, ideological appeal, and even blackmail as means of control. Appealing to some kind of shared ethnicity or race may be one method that the CCP uses to recruit spies or elites. But it is only one method among many, and it is only skin deep. The CCP is throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. It doesn't really care about the color of one's skin, as long as one does what benefits the regime. In fact, Appealing to shared race on the part of the CCP should be more offensive to Chinese Americans than it is a reason to spy for Beijing. The more insidiously effective incentives, such as money and ideology, apply to any ethnicity equally.